You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Today is Father's Day, a day in which we honor and offer gratitude to our fathers in whatever form or fashion they come into our lives, biological fathers, stepfathers, adoptive and foster fathers, donor fathers, grandfathers, spiritual fathers, and all of the uncles, brothers, and friends who, whether they know it or not, have helped to fill the role of father in someone's life. We are shaped by their presence and by their absence, by how they choose to act and when they abstain, what they say and when they remain silent. Let us remember today and always the impact that these fathers have on us as individuals and as a community. And let us also remember that we as a community are called to support and empower the fathers of this world, no matter how they came into their roles and regardless of their relative success or failure. Let us raise up their triumphs and let us have the grace to forgive them their all too human failures. Let us learn to love our fathers as we learn to love one another. Well, good morning and welcome to our service of worship. It is a service because it means to serve you. And it is worship because it means to serve you by raising to worth things that matter. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you here on behalf of the generations of Unitarians who have worshiped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual path. Any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. You are invited cordially to kick on with us after the service for coffee, tea, and conversation. Let's join in singing our opening hymn, Unfolding Life. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I sang my childlike themes, Unfolding Life. Please stand as you're able.
When I was a child, I spoke.
First of all, happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. I hope you're going to be spoiled rotten today and all that. However, in the spirit of Unitarian full inclusiveness, this service isn't all about you. I mean, come on, you get a whole day. What actually unites all of us sitting here today is that we all have or have had a father or father figures, maybe more than one, whether we loved them or not, whether we even liked them or not, we are all some father's child, even if your father's presence in your life was as an absence. There is an important distinction to keep in mind between fathering and fatherhood. Fathering is merely a natural biochemical process. The only material link between fathering and offspring is an instant of blind spasm that gives you half your DNA. But fatherhood is different. Fatherhood is about more than the material fact that things like your eye color or your health profile or your emotional life may have come from some guy. No. Fatherhood is not about nature, but nurture. Fatherhood is a nurturing role taken on entirely voluntarily. You have to want it. And this role called fatherhood evolves and is rewritten by countless forebears over long arcs of historical time and space. And because it is a role that transcends time and culture, fatherhood is a role that is larger than the man who takes it on. Fatherhood carries with it a mythic dimension. This is Kronos, the father of the gods, Father Time, which devours all its children. Before that role is assumed, that mythic role, every father begins first as just a guy in the world at a particular time and place with a particular individual identity. In choosing the role of fatherhood, he steps into this pre-existing mythic form, and it changes him. Like any actor assuming a timeless role, the father also changes the role somewhat. And so the role gradually evolves. And no two men will do it the same way, yet the way your father does it or did it will become the portal through which his children view both the fatherhood role and, to a large extent, the very nature of masculinity itself. So no pressure, fellas. Calling it a role may imply there's a script to follow. All you got to do is learn your lines, show up, do what the story says, and at the end there will be applause when it's your curtain time. But while there's plenty of direction for this role, there is no script. Most scripture is little help. Jesus devoted himself entirely to his work, and notwithstanding your Dan Brown fairy tales, never had kids to worry about getting them to sleep at night. In fact, Jesus even required his followers not only to leave their work, but family ties to follow him. Buddha had a child he forsook to pursue his monastic path and saw the role as another illusion to detach from. So scripture is not much help. Nor does any cultural norm provide a fixed, unchanging script. I mean, we might look back on the Victorians as role models of familial propriety, but do we really want that arid emotional distance and the seen and not heard ethic of parenting anymore? We might wax nostalgic about the 1950s, which produced a boom of post-war babies and new dads. It's the golden age of ideal fatherhood. But research shows that fathers in the 1950s spent an average of 8 minutes a day with their children. Fathers now spend 200% more time than they did even in the 1970s. And the cultural trend seems to be toward having more father around. But our own postmodern age has long abandoned the traditional style of the paternal role, which used to cast fathers as a strong, wise, capable, if remote, figure with given moral authority. Now, the most recognizable father figures in popular culture are cartoons of inept dunderheads, at best a necessary but embarrassing life support system for kids, and at worst, constantly messing them up. The cultural script keeps changing. But that's okay. Though the culture changes the script and might now cast today's fathers as fools, fathers can always rely on their instincts, right? Alas, science is split over whether or not there is, in fact, a fatherhood instinct. Some see traditionally masculine urges toward the protection of and well-being of children as entirely learned from culture, which is always shifting. Other scientists see these urges toward protection and well-being of children as genetically embedded from our hunter-gatherer past. And others still argue that both nature and nurture are at work to varying degrees. And we all might have opinions about whether fatherhood is nature or nurture or both, but we're not going to get to the bottom of that conundrum today. Let us simply say this, that when a man casts about for the user's manual to fatherhood, he always finds somebody else's script, an outdated script, or a script in a foreign language. Now, having no script matters because the stakes could not be higher. Because the child starts out so small, they can fit in your two hands. And so it takes an enormous amount of everything to see the time-bound enterprise through to completion. Logistics, materials, skills, will. And so, with no fixed, reliable script, nothing really prepares one for the role of fatherhood but doing it. Nothing prepares you for the swells of strange new emotions that roll through you in great waves. Nothing prepares you for sacrificing whatever personal dreams you might have had on the altar of parental responsibility. Nothing prepares you for the all-enveloping labor of it, the sheer mule-like persistence you need for numberless, discrete daily tasks over decades. Do you see what happens when you feed them for a couple of decades? You can tell she's my daughter. She's not above the cheap laugh. Fatherhood is a tale of knowledge acquired on the run, in the moment. So fathers are all not just acting a role. They are, in fact, improvising it. Which is to say that fathers are always doing things they technically don't know how to do yet. No wonder the given the unprecedented amount of time fathers now spend with their kids, the more kids are able to see that it is an improvisation, and the more insecure the whole fatherhood role becomes. Especially when we still live in this big shadow of the great big myth of the father. The gendered family role human beings have traditionally ascribed to the all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving, creative source of everything. What huge, unwieldy, and uncool shoes to fill. He will fall short. The perfect father. Where do you find the perfect father? Where would you find a guy who gets up at 5 in the morning, cleans up his area, looks after himself, works hard all day, works out, doesn't touch alcohol, reads books, and goes to bed? Where would you find such a guy? Where would you find him? You'd find him in jail. That's where you'd find him. Freedom to improvise means fallibility. There are no perfect fathers because there are no perfect men. So maybe give your old man a break. So as high-stakes improvisers, fathers are bound to get some things right and some things wrong. Because this relationship is crucial to the development of our adulthood, learning what of our fathers to let go of and what to hold on to is a key to our own adulthood. It's called differentiation, differentiating oneself from one's parents so that they both are you and aren't you. It's the very threshold of becoming fully an adult yourself. And we all need to make peace with our fathers by figuring out how this differentiation works for you, what for you to hold on to, what for you to let go of. To whatever extent you have not fully and consciously negotiated this peace, you will not have moved into your most fully fledged adulthood. Some grown-ups, as we know, never do. But as it's Father's Day, I thought we might do a simple reflective ritual that might help us facilitate and nurture that peaceful differentiation to whatever extent it can still be useful to you. But first, on differentiation, this timeless wisdom from Khalil Gibran's The Prophet.
Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer seeks the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, For even as he loves that the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable.
Let's join in singing our second hymn, Turn Around. Please stand as you're able. Differentiation. So in my genetic nature, half of me is my father's DNA, so I both am and am not him. His modeling of the role is the main fatherhood script I was given, but I don't need to stick to it, and I can and did write my own. Differentiation doesn't just happen to you. It needs your mindful discernment. So I don't exclude myself from revisiting today's exercise, our little ritual. I resented my father for years for his lack of ambition, his lack of status, his lack of wealth, all of which I blamed for holding me back from my rightful place in the world. Forever the victim of a poor patrimony I didn't deserve and tried to put behind me with miles. But holding on to such a grudge is really only a way of clinging on. Forever a victim means forever infantilized. Nursing those resentments, staying focused on what he was not, meant I hadn't really taken charge of my own direction for the fully fledged adult I could become. I mean, children spec the world of parents, but the expectations that fathers won't fall short occasionally in their improvised performance, that is never realistic. I got this, again, not that many years ago, really, when my sister uncovered a picture of my father as a first-time father, newly home from the Pacific. I saw that he, too, was trapped by time and place in a set of givens, and expecting him to be anything other than what his life had made him was like blaming the ancient Greeks for not being more feminist. I grew up within limits. He grew up within limits, just like me. And he could never have transcended those limits, nor be any more perfect than I could be in my own improvised fatherhood. He disappointed me sometimes. He wasn't always there, and yes, even did things which rather hurt occasionally. He was a really good man, but far from perfect. Which of us is? The good news is that research shows that most fathers do, in fact, feel love for their children. And whatever my father's imperfections and limitations, there was certainly no absence of loving, and his love was certainly enough for me to be able to reciprocate and hold him in loving regard as I do. A reciprocal relationship is a mature, differentiated one. Differentiating from one's father and thus entering maturity at whatever age requires a bit of both holding the man and a bit of letting him go, holding fast to what was good, letting go of what was not. In other words, to become an adult relies in part on forgiving one's parents. Forgiveness is a very grown-up thing to do. This does not mean to deny any character flaws or condone any misdeeds that may attach to them. But if we do not forgive, we will never separate. We will always be clinging like babies. We will never stop seeing ourselves as children who depend on them for our emotional well-being. We'll never stop seeing ourselves as victims. We'll never fully claim the capacity and responsibility to shape our own life. I forgave my father far later in life than I would have wished, which means that well into midlife, I thought as a child and spake as a child and acted as a man-child. It is finally up to us to put away the childish things, not our parents. It's sad that there are no formal rites of passage, really, in our culture anymore that mark childhood's end, and as a result, some adults do remain children all their lives. The beginning of my adulthood was not turning 18 or getting a job or even having children myself. It was sort of thrust upon me out of the blue by chance by being around for my father's final days. It forced me to take stock of the life circumstances and limitations he performed his improv under, his long touring show, and the merely supporting role I played in it. We always see ourselves as absolutely the solar center of our parents' lives, but we aren't really, and cannot be. He may not have been the father I always wanted, but I suspect that neither was I the son he always wanted. And that seems fair enough. It seems to balance out. It feels reciprocal, something like justice. What in the world makes us think that we are entitled to have our parents retrofit themselves to meet our particular fussy specifications? And you don't need extreme circumstances like mine to differentiate, but when you do, you realize what it is you will be missing when they do go. A balanced, reciprocal relationship with a flawed fellow human being, but one who is probably one of the few people on earth, almost guaranteed, to love you unconditionally, whether they show it to your satisfaction or not. I grieved hard for a time, of course, and I still think of my father every day, but I take comfort in the fact that I no longer mourn him. Would you really want your children never to get over losing you? There are few things more crucial to developing spiritual maturity than being able to forgive one another, and since you always hurt most the ones you love best, family is a pretty good place to start. People have generally misunderstood this, the way forgiveness works as described in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The original Greek sense of the line implies reciprocity. It means that we are forgiven as we forgive. As we turn our hearts toward the forgiving of others, we turn ourselves into the sort of person who will have less to be forgiven for. We become what we do. That old patriarchal prayer puts the ball fully in our court, as it should be. Why should you be entitled to something you're not willing to give others? And which of us doesn't need a little forgiveness? Holding the man and letting him go. So take up your slips of paper and pens or writing implements right now. If you don't have one, ask the ushers for these. On the blue slip, I'd like you to write one thing, about your father that you need to let go of. And then fold it twice. And I'm going to come around to send these baskets around, and you can pop it in. But be assured, no one will ever read this. Okay? On the pink slip, write one single quality of whoever fathered you that you feel grateful for and would like to pass on to others. Love, strength, forgiveness, good humor, whatever. Fold it twice too, but keep that one. We're going to exchange and share a few of those. Do this little ritual if you can bring yourself to, absolutely in privacy and silence for a few moments, and enjoy Brendan's music while it plays. And I'll send the baskets around in a moment. So much to let go of. So much mere human weakness to forgive. May we now and forever release these things we've harbored, the better to gentle our hearts and walk our days in this world in full and free maturity. I'll shred these in the office shredder later. the pink papers you have kept, exchange with someone. So you end up with a different one. Now, don't open them. Now exchange them again. Find somebody else. Let this travel far from you. Let the pink note travel far from you. Just a moment. That's great. It needs to ripple far from you. Now you can open them and read what you got. To the things that we would hold on to. You got your own. Gee, this is amazing. It's never fails. Can I hear a few aloud? Don't be shy. Just stand up and say it in a strong, clear voice in your own time. Good. More. More, more.
His sense of play and creativity.
He loved me.
Always back to my aspirations.
His even temper.
Integrity. He sang happy birthday on the piano, waking us on our special day to the roar of music. We do that to our children each year still.
I want you to keep the one you've got. These are unlooked for gifts from fatherhoods you never personally knew. And know that what is or was best of your father also does live in you, and more importantly, can be yours to father forth in others. I am certain your father would want that little bit of immortality more than all of the socks and chocks and Bunnings gift cards that will ever be. So let us honor our fathers by going forth to bring our world to the greater maturity it is so in need of. Let that be your father's legacy, your birthright as their child, and your generous patrimony to the world. Amen. Sing our closing hymn, "For Everyone Born a Place at the Table." Please stand as you're able. There is too much hardship in this world not to seek for joy, not just Father's Day, but every day. There is too much childishness in this world not to seek maturity. There is too much resentment in this world not to right the balance every day. There is too much pain in this world not to take the initiative to heal thyself. May each of us go father forth such ministry as this to a weary world all our days. Let us go forth now and do that which calls us to make this world more loving, more compassionate, more filled with wisdom and grace every day. Our fathers would wish it so. Amen. Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety.
This permission can be obtained by emailing unitariansa@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.